2 Timothy, for a change, chapter 1. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And what is he a preacher of? He's a preacher that Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We studied what a preacher was yesterday. It doesn't mean a person. It means anything that heralds with authority, who conveyed the official message. And as we talked about, it's all over the place. An apostle just means a messenger. It has nothing to do, the 12 apostles were apostles, but anyone who proclaims the mystery, the dying seed, if you will, is an apostle. And first comes, then in that progression, it's first, and well, let's look, go to Ephesians chapter something or other.
Chapter something.
General Electric Power Company. Verse 11, chapter 4.
Anybody care if we turn the AC off?
Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, the way that's traditionally read, those are the people that do stuff in the organized church. I don't believe that's what it is. I believe it reveals the progression of what happens to a dying seed. First, the apostle falls into the ground and die. Then, they're speaking. Therefore, prophecy. Then, because you speak, some will believe. Therefore, you're an evangelist. And then then some people come around, then you're this combination called pastor and teacher.
So basically, like every disciple.
That's what
an apostle.
Right. Every disciple, if he's a true disciple, he's fallen into the ground and died and recognizes his death, then this is what happens. Apostle, prophecy. Evangelist, pastor, teacher. Amen? So there's all these people that apostles, there's no more apostles after the 12. Well, the scriptures declare that's false. There's a whole bunch of what named apostles. So
these... Those other people who think that they're like the apostles of Kansas City or something.
Oh, yeah.
They've got their own, different special.
Yeah, that's just goofy. All right, then teacher, which says, we're back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy. Just don't, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Teacher is didaskalos, but it's sometimes translated as doctor, master, Rabbi. Let's just see it once. Go to Luke 2. What, Gary?
I was just thinking how this fundamentally takes place, and you can't judge another person.
What does that mean?
Well, it's God who creates apostles, teachers, prophets, so anytime you're blowing somebody off because you don't like them or whatever.
Well, the only thing you can do is exhort somebody that isn't fulfilling that. That's what we do. We exhort daily. Well, it is still called today.
Yeah. And back in Ephesians, the whole purpose for those offices are perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
There's no other reason
for
that to exist.
Luke 2. This is when, in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now this seems strange. How could you go 2 or 3 days out without knowing that your child wasn't there? But remember, they traveled as a tribe. And so there's a ton of people that came down for the Passover from Galilee. And they had to go across that, they had to go over into Jordan, or Perea at that time, and come over and cross the Jordan at the walled city, Jericho, and then go on to Jerusalem. And so it would be, this wouldn't be strange for them to not know that they didn't see him, because it was a big group of people that they all intermingled. And then it says, and it came to pass after that 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So that doctor there is the same word as teacher. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and it was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen?
Yep.
One more, 2 Timothy 4. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to Timothy. His last letter, encouraging him and exhorting him. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears, is what it really says. There's some say that wanting to hear pleasing words. That sound familiar? They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All righty, back to chapter 1. Weren't I appointed a preacher and teacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles? For which cause I also suffer these things. Now, what is he talking about there? He's suffering there because in some camps he was accused of being a heretic because he was giving the mystery of God to the Gentiles. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, This is that second part of chapter 12, to me, is the most important aspect of why I teach, so that you will know and be persuaded, fully persuaded. But there's some interesting words here that make this more sense. I know is eidon, E-I-D-O-N. Know is eidon. It means perceive with the senses. What he knew spiritually has been tested to such a degree as to know, he knows it with his senses. So herein, his mind has been transfigured, transformed, but his mind has been renewed so that he thinks and sees and knows and senses wherever he looks, even with his mind and his senses. The mystery is everywhere. There's no place where it isn't. So your mind being renewed, be transformed. Let's go there, Romans 12.
It's like seeing through everything.
Yeah.
So instead of picking up what's...
You know no man after the flesh.
You pick up the reality.
Truly
right.
Walking in the light as he's in the light.
Yeah. Verse 34 of chapter 11. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, let's go up one more. There's chapter 11, verse 33, Romans. This is important, so pay attention. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now that is the predicate. You're no longer going to be God's counselor. But because by waiting on him, you have learned the mystery of obedience. Obedience isn't him telling you to do something. Obedience is always, in the Old Testament, the way it's phrased is hearing under. Observe to do. You understand? So you've been transformed so that you no longer, you don't need him to tell you exactly what to do next. In fact, that's the evidence of a child. The evidence of spiritual maturity is silence, so that you have been transformed to know what he knows. You know the heart of God without having him to tell you everything. That's his, and that's what's necessary for the bride to be fulfilled. So, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom glory be glory forever. So you no longer, you know, well, this is what God is doing over there, and this is what God is doing over here, and then he's doing it, blah, 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 blah. It's just vain babbling. And that's all you hear anymore in these television preachers. I beseech you, therefore, because of what we've just read, by the mercies of God, that you present or you yield your bodies as a living sacrifice. And it's holy because you've set it apart for only him. If this toothpick holder held salt, it would be unholy. But if the toothpick holder holds toothpicks, then it's holy. You understand? If you are still going on after self-seeking, then you're unholy. If you have seen through that all self-seeking is empty and vain and without any purpose, then by definition, you are holy. Not because of who you are, but of who you contain and the fact that you've emptied always so that his life is revealed. Amen? I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And that means once that takes place, then you're acceptable unto God. There's no more wrath. Guilt has been done away with. unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word service there is a word that means the highest order of the priesthood in the temple at Jerusalem when it was standing. The same word, it's reasonable. It means it's the highest that logic and reason can take you. It's beyond it, because now you are at the top of the pyramid from God's perspective. That means you have now given meaning to your whole genetic background. They existed for your purpose. Every single breath, everything that has happened to you from before you were born was exactly ordained by God to get you to this point. But if you now rebuild the thing that has been destroyed, then you make yourself the transgressor. Amen? And you rebuild it every time you lean on your own arm of understanding of how to do something, instead of living by faith and waiting on Him. This is critical. This is the second by second living in Him. Be not conformed to this world. There's whatever age you're in, whatever the common, the word world there is ion, and it means the whole psychological, spiritual sense of whatever's going on in the world. It has nothing to do with you. No more politics for Jesus. Or against, blah, blah, blah.
I'm just thinking at this point, there's no way you can blend all of this into your culture and society and make it, that's not what it's about. It's a complete separation being a new thing.
Remember, there's only two theologies, and all thought is really theology. There's only two theologies. The theology of glory, which is self revelation, improvement, self-realization. In any dimension, whether it's financial or economic or psychological or any aspect of life. The theology of the cross destroys all that. But it must be destroyed first in you. Go to Jeremiah 1 a minute. We're going to come back to Romans. What? Everybody find it? Jeremiah 1, starting in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and you got to see, this is being said to you as well it was to Jeremiah. And if you don't know that, then this is just history. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Hallelujah. That's essentially what I said. Therefore, J.W. has to come down and teach, not me. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. No more of this mealy-mouthed crap. No more of making your God so small that it's... Well, as Crystal used to say, you put him in a box. You put God in a box constrained by your own understanding because you refuse to repent. Back to Romans. Chapter 12. Going on, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only good and acceptable and perfect will of God from your standpoint is Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Until this is tested in every arena, you know, then you really don't know, as we talked about. Remember, this is the knowing with your senses as well as spiritually. So there's no difference between life and lip. Out of the fullness of your heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is still full of you and the systems of this world, then that's what you will speak of. If you're still concerned about your whether or not you have any purpose in life, then that's what you'll speak. And it'll be evident to anyone that has the spiritual discernment of a gnat. Anytime you bring time into any equation, you must have seen that the seventh angel has stood up in you and said, the mystery of God in you has been completed. Therefore, for you, time no longer has any meaning. It's not important. You've redeemed the time, for all the days are evil. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is your mind renewed? Every thought has to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You must cast down all imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you must bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And that means there's no thought that you can have that can stand against you've been perfected by one offering. His sacrifice is eternal and infinite, and everything in the universe is perfect, and you need nothing. Amen? And then you know with your senses what the spiritual reality that has always been within you, they are one. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. There is nothing else. Amen? Then live it. Don't let your mind go on these ridiculous trips that are only empty and futile and without any purpose whatsoever. Cast the imaginations down. Bring every thought into captivity. He may have to repent 10,000 times a day until repentance becomes the constant instead of the exception. Anybody have any response?
It's coming into agreement with my grace is sufficient for thee and being accepting of that, that that's all you deserve and everything else is...
Well, you don't deserve anything. He in you deserves all things. Anybody else? Anybody have any this bring up anything in anybody? To know that you know that you know? Right. You're not put to the test for the purposes of failure. You're put to the test for the purposes of success.
The refiner's fire.
Hmm?
The refiner's fire.
Take it, big guy. Are we meeting?
Yes.
All employees. Meet.